Moses' encounter with the burning bush is found in Exodus chapter 3, first 15 verses. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law, Jethro, Midian's priest. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up. And Moses said to himself, "Let me check out this amazing sight, find out why the bush isn't burning up." When the Lord saw that he was coming to look, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "Here I am." Then the Lord said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground." He continued, "I am the God of your father, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I've clearly seen my people oppressed in Egypt. I have heard their cry of injustice because of their slave masters. I know about their pain. I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of that land and bring them to a good and broad land, a land that's full of milk and honey, a place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites all live. Now the Israelites' cries of injustice have reached me. I've seen just how much the Egyptians have oppressed them. So, get going. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and to bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, "I'll be with you, and this will be a sign to you, and will show you that I have sent you. After you bring the people out of Egypt, you will come back here and worship God in this mountain." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This past Sunday, we paid an imaginary visit to the laboratory of the alchemists. The alchemists were scientists of ancient times, and their purpose was not only to refine metals such as iron and lead, but also to refine organic materials based on the theory that everything contains four elements in varying proportions. It was a conviction of the alchemists that by changing any given material's proportional content of, for example, air or water, it was possible to transform it into a more valuable product, such as gold. Alchemy was a field of study that encompassed philosophical, spiritual, and experimental traditions. The goals went beyond refining or even changing matter. It was also concerned with spiritual transformation, how to attain purity of heart and soul. The alchemists practiced this transformation of matter primarily by exposing materials to intense heat. The alchemists were not the first to think about the element of fire and its spiritual symbolism or its power of transformation. Moses is a guy who would probably have a few logs to throw on that fire. Maybe he would have begun by mentioning his own fiery passion when he saw his people suffering under Egyptian bondage, how his temper flared when he witnessed a Hebrew slave being beaten, how in a burning rage he murdered the oppressor, how his passion and courage, though, flamed out as he ran for his life into the desert. Maybe he would tell a story of what happened when a burned-out life met up with the fiery spirit, the source of all creative power. It was a discovery of a burning bush, a bush that was on fire but not consumed. It captured Moses' attention on the backside of the desert. How did that bush burn and not burn out the way his passion had when it was released in anger? What was the secret of staying fired up rather than burning out? whatever it was, Moses had a lot of transformation to undergo before he would understand, if he ever really got it at all. Whether Moses knew it or not, God did. God commanded Moses to stop, to stand still, come no closer. Isn't that the first thing we all learn as children about fire? Don't touch that, you'll get burned. It's the warning Moses would later give to the Hebrews as he led them through the wilderness in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, saying to them, "Our God is a consuming fire." In context in Deuteronomy, Moses had discovered God's awesome power, warning the people to keep the commands of God, which were received from God on Mount Sinai, amidst thunder and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud blast of a horn. All the people shook in fear. Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord had come down on it with lightning. The smoke went up like smoke of a hot furnace, while the whole mountain shook violently. A scene that left those who were there begging there wouldn't be one more word. A scene so frightening, Moses himself said, "I'm terrified and shaking." But what does this have to say about our spiritual transformation? Are we to tremble in fear of the burning wrath of our God, which is about to scorch us to smithereens? That's not what happened to Moses when he stood still. Moses, a murderer. But rather than destroy Moses in a punitive fire, God wanted to be a purifying fire which would burn away all the stuff within Moses that was not benefiting him or his people and was not usable to God. Moses was told by God to remove his shoes. Imagine being barefoot on a hot, rocky trail in the desert. You're vulnerable. You're not going far, no matter your urge to flee. Can we stand still long enough for the transforming work of God to happen within our own heart and spirit? Maybe we should take off our running shoes. If we can simply stand still and not cower before God, if we don't turn and run away, the ground where we stand can become the site of our spiritual transformation. That is to say, we can find ourselves standing on holy ground, standing in the presence of the spirit of a refining fire as our own empty passions go up in smoke. Is that God's purpose? If not to destroy us, then to leave us vulnerable and depleted of any type of passion or drive, lost without purpose on the backside of nowhere? The bush was not consumed as it continued to burn, nor was God finished with the work of transforming Moses. Alone there, standing on holy ground, God spoke to Moses from the bush that was on fire, but was not consumed. There seems to have been no lightning and thunder, no blaring horn, no shaking mountain or rising smoke, just a conversation between God and Moses. One in which Moses discovered a God who was fierce and awesome in power, but also was a present and compassionate God. A God who had seen the suffering of the Hebrews. A God who heard their cry. A God who knew their pain. A God who had come down to rescue them, to step into their suffering and to change their story. Quickly, Moses' awareness of God was being transformed as he stood still on holy ground. Having let his own passions go, he was prepared to listen to what God had to say. Moses' transformation was about to heat up. "Go down, Moses. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go." This is where Moses might have wanted God to cue the thunder and the blasting horn. Anything to drown out what he was hearing now. This is where Moses might have wanted to run in the opposite direction like Jonah and others would do when God called them to speak God's message. But I'm like Jonah, most barefoot. Nothing has a transforming power like being thrown into the fire of God's service. Ask anyone who's ever heard and heeded the call of God, facing tasks for which you feel ill-prepared, entering places where you know the opposition will have you surrounded as a way of transforming your perspective of who God is and who you are. Just standing before God made Moses keenly aware of his own limitations. He had no shoes in which to run and no authority on which to stand. Maybe it was Moses who needed to be sure who this God was who was sending him into such an impossible journey. The bush was burning, but it was not consumed. Moses was feeling the heat, but he was not yet fully transformed. It seems to be one of those situations where exposure to the intensity of that heat needed to be sustained over an extended period of time for Moses' transformation to be complete. The task which God was calling Moses would require his maintaining a proximity with that fiery presence of God. Fire would remain a manifestation of divine guidance for Moses as he led the people through the 40 years of wilderness wandering. It was a cloud by which the Hebrews were led, and a pillar of fire that guarded them through the night. Day after long, trying day, trying to appease the murmuring and complaining of the angry people, seeing golden calves get more attention than stone tablets, Moses had to fall into his tent every night, exhausted, only to see that pillar of fire outside his tent. Oh, that fire. It reminded him of the divine call and promise he discovered at the burning bush, a fiery presence that ignited a holy spark within him, continuing to transform him, filling him with a life of divine passion. What is the outcome of spiritual transformation to be? The alchemists likened it to having spirits of pure gold. Perhaps they had the right pieces, only a bit out of order. Maybe fire was the goal and not just the primary agent of transformation. Moses was one who had not only discovered the fire and been transformed by it after standing in God's presence. Moses' own face shone so brightly with the glory of God that he had to veil his face when he stood before his people. And the sayings of the desert fathers, Abba Lot, king Abba Joseph, said, "Father, according as I am able, I keep my little rule, my little fast, my prayer, meditation, contemplative silence, and according as I am able, I strive to cleanse my heart of thoughts. What more should I do?" The elder rose up in reply and stretched out his hand to heaven, and his fingers became 10 lamps of fire, and said, "Why not become fire?" For the Apostle Paul, it was not a mere suggestion. It was in the scripture reading from Romans last week that we were admonished to be on fire in the Spirit as we serve the Lord. Paul goes on, we can say that, and we can do that, and we do it together and do it in love. Pierre-Claude de Chardin tells us the real discovery awaiting us is not turning base metals into gold, but the discovery of love, when he says, "The day will come when after we have mastered the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. Then for the second time in the history of the world, humankind will have discovered love.